Well, Aidan, I suppose, first of all, we have to talk about your Donegal connection, because you have one in the house.
I have many, yes. I married a Donegal woman, and even though I have twin daughters who are 13, even though they were born and bred in Dublin, they would rather wear rags than wear a Dublin jersey. They wear a Donegal jersey, so our summers, we kind of follow, they follow the Donegal lady footballers as much as the men, but so the last couple of years have been to Markievicz Park and Ballybuffet and places like that following Donegal, so it's pretty strong. I wish I had daughters who follow Dublin, but unfortunately they're lost to Donegal, so that's nothing I can do about that. That's a lost battle.
Well, listen, you have that connection, so we'll claim you then as a Donegal man, Aidan. But listen, we're looking ahead to the new Premier Division season, which has a huge Northwest interest in it, because there's three teams in there. Finn Harps, Derry City, and of course Sligo Rovers. We'll start with Finn Harps. It's another big year for them as we look at changes through the close season. Harps, without doubt, again, wobbling under the top flight, and they're going to have to punch above their weight once again if they're going to try and stay there or even get into that relegation playoff place.
You look at the signings, I know, and obviously Ollie Horgan will be limited by budget, and the club have to be, they can't just go all out and give him whatever money he wants, so the signings he's made are very much in time with that budget. And if you look at the signings everybody else has made, Harps have probably made the fewest. Shamrock Rovers haven't signed too many, but one of them is Jack Bourne, who's come back, very high profile player. So Dundalk haven't signed a huge amount of players, but the players they signed are very high quality. Waterford, St Pat's have signed a good few. Harps haven't really hit that in terms of quality, a bit of an unknown quantity, I suppose. Harry Ashcroft coming in from Malta, and Jakob Borg did quite well last year, so there is a bit of a track record there. But you just wonder where the players coming in. Raf Curtaro, he was very much a peripheral figure with Sligo the last couple of years. Does he have a full season in him in terms of being able to start at his age? I'm not sure. The other players, Danny Riley, Sam Verdon, who've been around the Premier Division and First Division for a while, can they deliver? It is going to be hard, and I'm sure Ollie would have liked a bit more room in his budget, a bit more ability to even compete for players who are coming back, and that just wasn't there. So it is, with the squad he has, it is going to be very difficult.
What's the general feeling around the league about Harps? You're based in Dublin, and of course the bulk of the teams are all coming from the capital, and the trip to Finn Park can be one of the longest for sides, plus they always question the pitch at Finn Park as well. But what's the general feeling about Harps? Us here feel that Harps should be in the top flight. What does the rest of the clubs think?
I think people enjoy going there, and it's a long trip, but particularly the Dublin clubs, a lot of them, they make a week end of it. They like when Finn Harps are back, because especially in the summertime, you can make a weekend of it up in Donegal, so they like going there. They don't always get what they want. I think it was 2 years ago Bohemians went up there. I think Harps were still in the First Division at the time, and Bowes would have had high hopes in the FAI Cup, and Harps knocked them out. That was a year when Bowes really thought they had a chance of doing something in the FAI Cup, so they can all slip up there. I think you don't get much. I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, but it's a long way to go and a tough place to go on the pitch and everything else. I think often with Harps, it depends on how they are. They've always been tough at the start of the season. When it gets to the summer, kind of the last part of the season, if maybe they've run out of steam a bit or if crowds have dropped. But I think taking on if Harps have a good start and you're going up there and there's a good crowd at Finn Park, nobody, particularly the Dublin clubs, don't want to be going there. They'd much rather be going there in September, October, when Harps maybe have lost a bit of steam and there's only 500 people there. But going up there when there's maybe 2,000 people there on a Friday night in February, March, it's not a trip that anyone, it's not a match that anyone looks forward to.
Where do you see Harps finishing up then, come the end of the campaign?
Being honest, I have to say bottom two. I think if you ask most people, I think they're looking at the table will have a fairly familiar shape. I think you're looking at Dundalk already as favourites. Most of the bookies have them as even money favourites to win it. A couple of bit of a chasing pack then, maybe Cork, Shamrock Rovers, a bit of a cap in the middle, and then the bottom two probably will be Finn Harps and UCD. Somebody else, maybe possibly Bohemians, possibly Sligo, depending on how they start. Waterford, if they have a bad start, maybe getting sucked in. But I think for either Finn Harps or UCD, finishing outside the bottom two, it has to be the target. It is going to be really, really difficult. You look at last season, how difficult, and how clubs have strengthened. You look at the signings other people have made. I mentioned earlier on St Pat signing Chris Forrester, Shamrock Rover signing signing Jack Bourne. They're all those big clubs are making very, very big signings, and that's a signal of their intent. So I think it's two of them in it. I think UCD and Finn Harps, they're the two who really are going to struggle to get out of the bottom two.
You mentioned another team there, Sligo Rovers. They've been sort of battling in the bottom half of the table for the last number of seasons. Name Buckley in charge there. Is this a year that maybe they can work their way up it?
I think that, again, they're looking to up it. I mean, I like what Sligo are doing off the pitch as well as on the field. I know they had their AGM during the week, and financially they're in a pretty good place, and they are a lesson for a lot of other clubs. And a lot of people are talking about the money they can bring in terms of their fundraising drive, the Lotto. It's a really well-run club at the moment. I think it had gone a bit stale the last while under Gerard Little. I think Liam Buckley going in, Liam is a very good manager. Liam is a very engaging guy. He's played for Sligo before. I think he will engage them. He plays a really good brand of football. He's made a couple of interesting signings. Ronan Murray, who was at Dundalk last year, didn't do an awful lot. As usual, Liam Buckley likes signing his exotic signings as well. The players have come. Nigerian striker signed last week, Brendan Ogbu, I think player from Bermuda, has come in, who's been playing in Estonia. So they're always hard to know. Sligo, those players generally sink or swim at Sligo. Either you do really well, or else you play one or two games. Choice Azien was a member. He was a Nigerian at Sligo a couple of years ago, only had a couple of games and faded away. So I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think Sligo are looking at competing. I think Sligo are going to look to consolidate, build on what they have, try and do something in the Cup. Liam Buckley, it was a monkey off his back really to win the FAI Cup with St Pat's a couple of years ago, first time they won it in 50 odd years. I think Sligo will be happy with a decent season, mid-table, and try and win the Cups. I think, you know, it doesn't mean an awful lot to Dundalk or Cork City to win the EA Sports Cup. I think something like that would be brilliant for Sligo Rovers, just to give the fans something. They haven't had a trophy in a while. They've had a couple of hard years on the pitch, but as I said, I like what they're doing off the field. If they keep that up, I think it could be a good season for Sligo Rovers.
You mentioned the EA Sports Cup there. That was a competition Derry City won last year, but it wasn't good enough for Kenny Shields to keep his job, and they brought in a man that was there before in Declan Devine. And basically, they just cleared the deck, so they have at the Brandywell, and they're starting over again. There's been a massive influx of players, probably more than any other club in the league in the close season. How long will it take Derry, do you think, to bed in, given the amount of change that's been there? They finished, what, third from bottom last year, just below Sligo Rovers. Are Derry a top half team if they can get things clicking, do you think?
No, I think Derry are going to be mid-table as well. I mean, huge shape, but I think Derry have to take the longer-term view. I mean, they're not long back in the Brandywell. They're still finding their feet there. The home record last year wasn't brilliant. They're still, you know, finding what it's like to play there. So many new players, and particularly when you're losing key players. I mean, you know, Gerard Doherty was a mainstay of that team for a couple of years. He's gone. A lot of players have come in. I think it needed a change. I mean, I saw an interesting quote from Patrick McLean has moved back to Derry from Sligo, and he said, you know, players he saw playing for Derry City last year weren't fit to play for the club. So a lot of the imports that Kenny Shields had brought in didn't really work. I think Derry lost their way a little bit. I think, you know, Declan Devine, I think with Derry are only success. You need a manager who understands the club and understands the city. I think the managers who struggle there, people like Pat Fenlon, Derry McKeely, John Robertson, they just didn't get Derry. The people of Derry, the club, they didn't get it. Pat Fenlon will admit that himself. He just didn't settle there. His mind wasn't on it. The people who are success there, the likes of Stephen Kenny, do that. I don't think Kenny Shields really got it. I think some of the comments he made, you know, comments he made about the standard in the league, comments he made about international football, just didn't really go down too well. So I think I would give Declan Devine time. I think, again, things happening off the field. I think Derry, they need to build a club again. I think a lot of people in Dublin know that Finn Harps have done really, really well at underage level the last couple of years. I spoke to somebody involved in coaching one of the Dublin clubs last week, who said that Harps have wiped the eye of Derry up there in terms of the North West, in terms of getting young talent. So I think Derry bringing in Patrick McCourt as head of their academy is kind of a reaction to the work that Kevin McHugh and Harps are doing. They have lost their way a little bit in terms of the last maybe year, 18 months. A lot of the best players were looking to sign for Finn Harps instead of Derry. Players from the city weren't, they were going off playing the sports, they're maybe going off to Coleraine or playing in Belfast. Derry just needs to find its feet again. So again, I wouldn't put pressure. I wouldn't say that Declan Devine has to win the league or win a cup, but I think they need to get back where they were, make the Brandywell strong again, let this team bed in. Some interesting players, Pat McLean going back second spell, Owen Stokes, striker, was at Bohemians last year, kind of peripheral, didn't do that great. There was a really good player in Owen Stokes. If he can get right, if he can get a manager to strong arm him into being focused, Owen Stokes lost his way at Bohemians. He was dropped and he soaked, didn't fight back to get his place back in the team. So if Declan Devine can get Owen Stokes firing, if he can get these players, Kieran Call, interesting move going there as well after so long at Finn Harps, signed Greg Sloggett from UCD, who was probably, I think that's another problem for UCD. Greg Sloggett has probably been the best player for the last 2 years. He's gone to Derry again, a dub going up to Derry. Can he bed in? Can he do well? So I wouldn't put pressure on Derry. I wouldn't say that Derry have to qualify for Europe or win a cup. I think stability, mid-table, and just build a club and try and get those young players, the players that they have lost to Harps for the last 2 years, try and get those back playing for Derry City again.
Declan Devine last managed Derry in the 2012-13 campaigns. Has the league evolved much since then? Because that's now, what, 7 years ago, six or 7 years ago since he was last there. How has the league differed since that period?
Yeah. I think the difference is that a lot of the time there in the when Derry were competing, and it was always quite level. You know, nobody ever really ran away. I know there was 1 year Bohemians won the league by 19 points, but it was always pretty level. But I think Dundalk and Cork have just been by far the best two teams for the last 6 years, and I think that the way things are looking ahead, I think Cork are cutting back on their budget. They've lost a couple of players. They haven't probably signed the quality they want. Derry, I know they've lost Stephen. Sorry, Dundalk have lost Stephen Kenny, but they really have added. So I think that has been the significant. The investment coming into Dundalk has just put them on another level. That in terms of signing players, in terms of staff, in terms of recruitment, Dundalk are in a different place to everybody else. So that there isn't really a level playing field, and the challenge then is for everybody else to try and match that in terms of the finances. It's very, very difficult. We know that the reliance that Derry have on Philip O'Dart, they're very much reliant on one man to put the money in. The other clubs like Finn Harps and Sligo Bohemians are members clubs. They need members to pay the subscriptions and to go out and to sell lotto tickets, to sell scratch cards, to sell programmes, to keep that money in. Dundalk are on a different plane. That's the big difference now, that you can't really look at it and say that Derry can say, you know, we've got a good squad, we got young players, we can have a crack at it. Everyone else is just on and off the field, just so far behind Dundalk. That's the difficulty.
What will the effect be on Dundalk with Stephen Kenny not there anymore?
I think it'll take time to see. I mean, Stephen wasn't just the manager of the first team. This is something that's happened in England the last couple of years, where before people like Ferguson and Wenger, they ran every aspect of the club. They're involved in the academy, they're involved in signing young players, they're involved in recruiting staff. Your typical coach now in the Premier League, they're not called a manager anymore, they're called a head coach. His job is just to manage the first team and not do anything else. Stephen was like that. He controlled everything in Dundalk. He wrote his own programme notes. He would have had a selection in, would have watched the underage game. So he's a huge loss to the club. The fact that Vinnie Perth has gone in, had been his number two, is there as the main man now, so there is continuity. But it's a big challenge to go from being a number two to being a number one. You know, sometimes you might have had a good cop, bad cop idea when, you know, Stephen Kenny dropped somebody, maybe he was a bad cop and Vinnie Perth was a good cop, putting the arm around the shoulder, telling him it's okay and keep going. Now Vinnie Perth is in the other situation. It's a huge, huge challenge. I think they do have the benefit of, they've kept most of the players they want. It's not like a couple of years ago when they lost Andy Boyle and Daryl Horgan. They've kept a lot of the players they want. Patrick McElhenney had half a season last year. I think he's going to be a lot stronger. So I think there is a question mark there over Dundalk. Can they do it? Can Vinnie Perth do that? And the loss of Stephen Kenny, but I think they just have so much in place. The squad is just so strong. Even this week they signed Sean Murray, a player who was, you know, a very prominent player with the Irish underage teams and played in the Championship for Watford a couple of years ago. They just have quality all over. So a bit of a question mark, but I don't think it'll hold them back too much. I still think Dundalk would be head and shoulders over everybody else.
When Finn Harps were last relegated from the Premier Division, it was reduced to a 10-team division. Now with a couple of seasons under its belt, is it working, do you think, Aidan?
I don't think so. I prefer the 12. I think there's a lot that needs to be looked at with the league. I think the structure of the league, I know they've tweaked it a little bit this year, but still there's a huge amount of front-loading games at the start of the season. You know, you've got clubs, I think Harps are away twice. I think, I haven't got the fixtures in front of me, but I think Harps might be in Cork and Dublin in the space of a week. The fixtures aren't working. I would like to see 12, but I would like to see stronger clubs. I don't think the licensing process is strong enough in terms of facilities are a bugbear in mine. I think a lot of the facilities in the league just aren't good enough. I think that's what the focus should be on. I think it should be focusing on giving Finn Harps a proper stadium to play in, giving Dundalk a proper stadium to play in, getting Dairymount Park right. That should be where the focus should be, rather than focusing on 10 or 12. I'd like to see 12 teams. I think 10 team league just leads to repetition. I think it's meaningless games. I think especially this year, when it's going to be so competitive at the top, you could have a couple of teams at the bottom who are more or less out of it by August, or nothing to play for by August. They know they won't get relegated, they won't make Europe. So I prefer 12, but I want to see 12 really strong teams with proper stadiums. That's got to be key for me.
We've seen in the season just gone, Aidan, that it was UCD and Finn Harps that got promoted from the First Division. Two went down, of course, from the top flight. How strong is the First Division going to be, and is that battle at the top going to be more intense than what we'll see in the Premier? And who do you think will be the two teams that will be coming up?
I think Shelburne anyway. I mean, looking at the investment that Shelburne have made, I mean, they really want to make a serious go promotion this year. They brought Ian Morris in as manager. He had a good contract, as he was heading the academy, and he was a player at Bohemians. He turned that down to go to Shelburne. It was a chance for him to manage the players he signed. He brought in Kieran Kilduff, re-signed a lot of last year's players. Kieran Kilduff, I'm sure, could have got a Premier Division club when he came back from the US, but he obviously, Shelburne sees something in him. Bray Wanderers, I wouldn't really reel them out as well. Bray, you know, we talk about stability. I mean, you know, Bray this is the first time they've been relegated, I think, in a long time. I think Bray had been in the first division, in the Premier Division, longer than Shamrock Rovers, longer than Derry City, longer than Dundalk. They really had that record. They've spent a bit of money as well. They've signed Paul Keegan, who was very strong for Waterford the last 2 years, has gone to Bray. Bray are looking at it as well. They want to get back there. So I think Shelbourne, I think, if you judge the bookie odds, I think Shelbourne will probably, if not run away with the first division, I think they'll be very, very much up there. But the other clubs have strengthened. Drogheda want to go up as well. Bray, it's going to be a lot more interesting, and I think you're going to have the lesser clubs, the likes of Capintilly and Galway, who haven't done particularly well the last while. I think they're going to struggle a bit, but I think, you know, two from three of Shelbourne, Bray Wanderers and Drogheda United to come up with, maybe Longford snipping at the heels as well. But I think it's going to be a bit like with Limerick a couple of years ago. I think Shelbourne are so strong, it could be a one horse race.
Yeah. Okay, how long have you been following League of Ireland football, Aidan?
I'm a life really. I grew up beside Dalyman Park, so since I was a kid, I was following the Bohemians. Would have been my first club. I've been writing about it 22 years now, covering the league professionally. So a lot of changes in that time. But yeah, 20 odd years, I suppose. Yeah. 40 years watching the league, and 20 years getting paid to write about it.
Well, listen, you've over two decades done working then at the League of Ireland ahead of the 2019 campaign. Just finally, what is exciting you ahead of this new Premier Division?
I think a lot of talent has come back. I mean, that's what I'm looking forward to. And you try to market the league to people who don't know about it. There's so many people. It is, what depresses me about the league is that it's a minority sport. You know, people don't know about it. There's 1.5 million people in Dublin. Probably only about 5,000-6,000 of them go to the League of Ireland on a regular basis. Huge parts of Donegal, where, you know, I spent a good bit of time in around southwest Donegal on holidays and Teal and areas around that, where Finharps just don't really have a footprint, that I would love to see more of a footprint, become more of a national game, more interest. I think to do that, I think the players coming back, I think Patrick McElhenney with a full season behind him, Chris Forrester, you know, coming back to St Pat's after a couple of years in the UK, Jack Byrne coming back to Shamrock Rovers. I think there's some really, really exciting talent. I think if that can be packaged, I think if there's a proper TV deal, and it doesn't look like Soccer Public is going to be back on Monday nights, I don't know how the FAI and RT are going to package it, but if you can get a proper good season going, a proper TV package, some sort of a match of the day reel or something like that, to show people how good this league can be, that's what I'd like to see. So there are good, exciting young players. There's lots of good stuff happening at underage level, but if we can see people like Chris Forrester, Patrick McElhenney like that really kick on next year, I think it could get people who have no interest in the league, get them talking about the league, because that's what we need. Most of the population have no interest, no involvement in League of Ireland football. Get that untapped public involved. I think the league could be a lot stronger in a couple of years.
Okay then, Aidan, we look forward to the new season. Aidan Fitzmaurice of the Herald and the Irish Independent, many thanks for joining us, and good luck with the campaign ahead.
Thanks, Oisín.